Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Will Hermes is a contributing editor and senior critic at Rolling Stone, and he joins us with his selections for the best music of 2016. Will, we took a year off, but you are back, and maybe the best part of this entire year that you're here to talk about music with me, and I thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. I've been up in the region for a while. I've been doing some work up at Yaddo, a marvelous, marvelous resource for artists in Saratoga Springs. I urge people to find out about it and support it. And I've been working on a new book there. So it's a short hop, skip, and a jump over here to see you.
Do you want to tell us about the book or no?
I could tell you that it is a biography of Lou Reed.
The late great.
The late great. And I've been working on it for a number of years, thanks to some very focused time at Yaddo, as there is now a light at the end of the tunnel.
And of course, we'll have you back to talk about that when you're ready.
Yes. Okay. We will keep you posted.
Great.
You will hear the champagne corks being popped.
Great. So where do you want to begin for music this year?
Well, I hope it's not a morbid way to start, but I thought I'd start with death.
It's fitting,
It is unfortunately fitting. We lost many major music figures this year. I can't recall a year where so many folks left us. Prince, Mose Allison. I mean, I'm not going to go down the entire list, but I do want to play a couple of songs by two artists who passed this year and who made albums that were among the greatest of their careers, literally in the days leading up to the months leading up to their passing. And maybe we can start with David Bowie, because he passed in January of 2016, and he put out an album called Black Star. He put together a jazz ensemble. Donnie McCaslin has a band. He's a saxophone player, and it was basically Donnie McCaslin's band with a few other people kicking in, and really made a remarkable set of songs. And it's a little bit chilling because at the time people didn't even know that he was ill. But after he passed, to listen to the album, he was talking about very much what he was going through. Maybe we can listen to a little bit of the title track.
Something happened on the day he died. Spirit rose a meter and stepped aside. Somebody else took his place and bravely cried, I'm a black star, I'm a black star. How many times does an angel fall? How many people lie instead of talking tall? He trod on sacred ground, he cried loud into the crowd.
That was part of Black Star, the title track from David Bowie's final album.
And Leonard Cohen also released a final album called You Want It Darker. Also not kind of mincing words or dancing around issues of mortality, although this guy was like addressing issues of mortality head on when he was in his 20s and 30s. So there's no change here in some sense. But I want to play a little bit of the title track, which really, really moved me. He recorded it with a choir at the Jewish congregation in Montreal that he attended when he was growing up. And it lends some gravitas to this song, You Want It Darker.
If you are the dealer, I'm out of the game. If you are the healer, means I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. You want it darker. We kill the flame. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the help that never came. You want it darker. Hey, nay, 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 nay. I'm ready, my lord.
Leonard Cohen, You Want It Darker, also the title of his final album. I hate saying final album.
I wrote about the record for Rolling Stone, and I wrote the sentence, what could conceivably be his final album. But again, he's a guy who's been working into his, he was working into his 80s, and I just sort of thought, no, it's, of course it's not going to be his final album, because you think that every time. But it was. So rest in peace, David Bowie, Leonard Cohen, and all the artists who left us. Two sisters who are very much with us, and this may be unprecedented. I'm happy for anybody to correct me, but I'm not sure that two sisters each released in the same year two albums that really have topped critics' best of lists all over the place. Beyoncé being one of them, and the less well-known sister, Solange Knowles, who I believe made, of the two very good records, the better record. It's a little bit more my vibe in terms of R&B. It's a little bit more down-tempo, and it's a little bit more hypnotic. It's a fantastic album. It wound up on the top of the NPR critics lists. It wound up on the top of the Pitchfork critics list. I want to play a little bit of the song Cranes in the Sky, because while the entire album deals with some very heavy issues of being African-American in America and dealing with struggles, and this song Cranes in the Sky really addresses issues of how you deal with very difficult stuff and don't freak out, how you can be strong, and it's beautiful. And, you know, I think everybody can relate to needing some way to deal with anxiety and stress this year. So, Solange.
I tried to drink it away. I tried to put one in the air. I tried to dance it away. I tried to change it with my hair. I ran my credit card below. Thought a new dress would make it better. I tried to work it away, but that just made me even sadder. I tried to keep myself busy. I ran around and think I make myself dizzy. I slept it away, I sexed it away, I read it away, 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 away.
It's Cranes in the Sky, Solange. I haven't spent any time with this album. I will. But if anybody listening missed Lemonade, Beyoncé's album, I spent the summer with that record, and it is phenomenal, and I recommend that too. Like she needs it, but just in case you missed it, Beyoncé's Lemonade is a powerhouse.
And a lot of people probably have. It's, you know, it's kind of it's a video album. It's you know, that's a hell of a bloodline.
Will Hermes is a contributing editor and senior critic at Rolling Stone, and we're talking about some of 2016's best music.
I wanted to talk about another album, Bon Iver's 22 A Million, which I felt of a whole lot of records that explored electronics. And it wasn't really an electronic record. It was actually, he's, you know, at core, he's a singer-songwriter. His first record under the moniker Bon Iver, with the group, quote-unquote, Bon Iver, was really sort of a folky record. And this one is too, although he adds electronics in a way that I think just metaphorically seems to say a lot to how we live now, how wired we are, our phones, our computers. And his music is so melodic, and his voice is so beautiful, it's so delicate, that it's almost too pretty sometimes. And he uses electronics on this record to make things a little bit unpretty and add tension to music that's all otherwise like very kind of comforting. So it's a fascinating listen. I just listened to it on the way over here, and I can't say I'm going to get tired of this record anytime soon. Let's listen to 33 God.
Staying at the Ace Hotel, the call was loud. I would just be floating to you now. Make it pass to let it pass on. I'm climbing the dash, dash.
It's 33 God, Bon Iver's new album, or new this year album, 22 a Million.
Well, how about we talk about the Hamilton mixtape?
If you insist.
You're a fan of Hamilton, aren't you? I understand.
Yeah, I was lucky to be early is how I describe it. But don't pretend that I have unique insight. It hit me the way it hit everybody who it's hit, and I just adore it. And the mixtape is such a cool project.
It is a really cool project. I finally, and with much difficulty, was able to get to see Hamilton this year with my daughter, who is an absolute fanatic. We went to see the show together, and this was after taking a road trip to Chicago, where she insisted that we listen to the soundtrack from beginning to end. And literally in the car on the interstate, like, I was weeping.
Yeah.
You know, by the time we were like, you know, three quarters of the way through. And I was weeping in the theater too. As much as the critic in me really wants to, like, you know, check things that are hyped so much. Mm-hmm. And there is something about the way that show has become like a status symbol because tickets are so hard to get. It's a little frustrating because I know so many people who want to see it and just can't because of the physical limitations of the play. But it is being produced all around the country at this point, so people will be able to check into it. And then this mixtape, which took a lot of liberties with the material, but did some really good things. Maybe we can check a little piece of one recording that that Lin Miranda's actually on, in addition to Nas, my Queensboro homie, that rap hero and veteran. He's also on a reinterpretation of Wrote My Way Out.
I wrote my way out.
When the world turned its back on me, I was up against the wall. I had no foundation, no friends or no family to catch my fall. Running on empty, was nothing left in me but doubt. I picked up a pen and I wrote my way out.
I picked up the pen like Hamilton. Street analyst, now I write words and try to channel them. No political power, just lyrical power. Sitting on a crate on the corner, sipping for hours. Scheming on a come up from evening to sun up. My man awaiting trial, misdemeanors were younger. Courtroom prejudice, insufficient evidence. Jailhouse lawyers, these images still relevant. Flickering light inside my project hall. Sickening, the mice crawl all night long. In 87 Reaganism, many pages I've written on. Writing songs about rights and wrongs and Bell's bonds. Master bedroom, bigger than the crib that I was raised at. I'm the architect, like I wrote the code, the Ways app. I'm driven, black Elohim from the streets of Queens. The definition of what it was written means. Know what I mean?
I wrote my way out.
It's Wrote My Way Out from the Hamilton mixtape.
So good. We could have, I mean, we could have played any.
I know.
Of this,
we joked when we were emailing about setting up this segment that I said, you know, is all the best of the year from the mixtape? Are we just going to play the mixtape? Because it's very varied as well. It's It's not all hip hop.
Yeah, I mean, Regina Spektor's on it, for goodness sake. Maybe we can fit in another piece of a song before we're done here. But let's move on.
Okay.
I, as always, am impressed with what's coming out of Nashville on the world of country music, but probably every time we do a show, I am saying, like, wow, it's an extraordinary time for country music in terms of the quality of things that are being written, the way the storytelling is being moved forward, and, you know, and the way that, as a manifestation of American culture, that, like, you know, in the same way that we learn from how R&B acts express themselves, how hip-hop acts express themselves, how jazz players express themselves, learning from the world of country music, like what's happening in various parts of the country is useful, I think. Even some people have a thing like, oh, country music, not that into it. We have one of the greatest country music writers living in the region, to the best of my knowledge. Laurie McKenna is still a resident in Massachusetts, and she came out of the New England folk scene, was involved in that, but has been writing some of the greatest country songs of the past few years. And she wrote a song called Humble and Kind, which was the Country Music Association Song of the Year this year, as recorded, not by her, but by Tim McGraw, who had a big hit with it. She also wrote the country music, co-wrote the Country Music Association Song of the Year last year, Girl Crush by Little Big Town, which is a fantastic song. But she put out a solo record this year called The Bird and the Rifle, which is one of my favorite albums of the year. If we have time, maybe we can just play, it's only a 3-minute song, but to me, this is the perfect example, almost a textbook example, of expert songwriting. Giving up on your hometown.
Well, I don't know where the cool kids hang on Friday night. We used to park our parents' car by the billboard sign. They tore it down years ago to build a small high rise. It's abandoned now and it's been that way for quite some time. Don't make sense, but the cheap motel is always open. Seems like we're sitting in a handbasket wondering where it's going. There's a freshwater shark in a small fish tank behind the counter. The door's always locked and you gotta prepay in cash by the hour. The sunsets still look the way they always do. Over the backyard trees my grandma used to in the afternoon, and you can't keep everything the way you want. Feels like even the ghosts are getting out. on your hometown. Well, every single Sunday, 10 a.m., we were in that pew. I was married there and baptized there, and my kids were too. My mother sang in the women's choir before she died. And the day they sold that church, even the statue of Mother Mary cried. But the sunsets still look the way they always do. Over the backyard trees, my grandma used to sit under in the afternoon. And you can't keep everything the way you want. Feels like even the ghosts are getting out. Giving up on your hometown. Giving up on your hometown. And every kid that's left just kept going. And every debt we didn't pay, we just keep owing. We never visit your daddy's grave, but we go by the house. He'd be working on a car in the driveway if he was with us now. That porch swing you built for your mom is all but gone. I guess even when you stay right here, sometimes you can't go home. Giving up on your hometown. Giving up on your hometown.
Lori McKenna's Giving Up on Your Hometown from her album, The Bird and the Rifle. We're going through the year in music with Will Hermes, and we'll be back with more after this. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to The Roundtable. Will Hermes is a contributing editor and senior critic at Rolling Stone. We are lucky to call him a friend here at WAMC, and we continue speaking with him now about the year's best music.
It's been a very good year for country music across the board, and maybe we can get one more song from an album that I thought was one of this year's best called The Weight of These Wings by Miranda Lambert. She is a very well-known, very successful country star. She was married to Blake Shelton. They split up and got divorced. This is her first album since the end of that relationship. And, everybody being, kind of celebrity watchers are like, oh, this is her big breakup record. And yes, it does deal with some of those themes, but not specifically. And it's a tour de force. It's two records, so varied in styles, but all rooted in, great storytelling and songwriting, and also really funny. The woman is she's really funny, and I like this song, which involves alcohol. Don't necessarily try this at home, but it's called Ugly Lights.
I don't remember when the liquor started kicking in. It's been a while since I've been off the stuff. I really hate to say I'm turning into a cliche. I'm hoping that nobody brings it up. It'll hurt all day. Another matchbook flame. And I don't try to
so what if I feel comfortable in here? Cause I still go and stay too late and be the girl bartenders hate, the one that doesn't need another one. When the Romeos and Juliets have bombed all of my cigarettes, the last kiss in the parking lot is done. I'll be sitting
Ugly Lights by Miranda Lambert, the name of the record, The Weight of These Wings.
Yeah, that was one of the year's best. Maren Morris put out a great record this year. Sturgill Simpson put out a fantastic record this year. Brandi Clark, Brent Cobb are all people who listeners should check out if you want to hear some of the best in current country music. But not a country artist, but kind of a hard artist to pin down, is a guy named Dev Hines, who records under the moniker of Blood Orange. He's a New Yorker. He's a singer-songwriter, soul singer, plays electric guitar, plays cello. I saw him perform this year. The guy like switches from electric guitar to cello. It's pretty good.
That's cool. That is very
in
cool.
In one show. Great singer, great dancer. The album was called Freetown Sound. It was a political record, an uplifting record. The whole life experience rolled into Freetown Sound. And this is a song that uses a little bit of an old hit by Eddie Grant, which people might recognize a little bit, but Dev Hines's interpretation or recontextualization is called Love Ya.
Tell me how you wanna swim with me in deep water, fly away to the sky, and dry me with your fire. Come on, let me take you down low. Come on, let me make you round low. Come on, let me love ya.
Blood Orange with Love Ya from the album Freetown Sound. Will Hermes is a contributing editor and senior critic at Rolling Stone, and we're talking about some of 2016's best music.
Another record that was sort of had some characteristics of pop music 2016, but was not quite of it, was by an artist who now goes by the name of Anoni. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Formerly known as Anthony of Anthony and the Johnsons. He put out a record working with some electronic musicians that really sounded a lot like kind of upbeat radio pop, but with lyrics that were very potent, very hard-hitting, very thought-provoking. The single from that album was called, I'll just let the song spin and we can back announce it.
Love, drone by me. Blow me from the mountains and into the sea. Blow me from the side of the mountain. Blow my head off. Explode my crystal guts. Lay my purple on the grass. I have a glint in my eye. I wanna die. I wanna die. I wanna be the apple of your eye.
a drone bomb me. Blow me from the mountains and into the sea. Blow me from the side of the mountain. Blow my head off. Explode my crystal buds. Lay my purple on the grass. Let me be the first. I'm not so innocent. Let me be the one. The one that you choose from above.
After all,
I'm partly to blame. So don't bomb me. From mountains and into the sea. Blow me from the mountains and into the sea. I'm not so innocent. I blow my head out. Explode my crystal guts.
That's Anoni with the single Drone Bomb Me.
Maybe the best, maybe the hardest hitting song title of the year. The name of the album is Hopelessness, but actually it's a pretty, I found it a pretty hopeful album because in its powerfulness, uncompromising way of addressing what's going on.
And that voice is from another world.
It really is one of the great, great voices in modern music. So bravo. Another great voice who put out a great record is Angel Olsen, who is well known as a side person, has been worked with a lot of different musicians, most well known, I guess, Will Oldham. Maybe he's not all that well known. To me, he is. She has put out a number of solo records. My Woman is her new one. And it's just great. It's really, it feels really rooted in like early rock and roll, a lot of it, especially this song, which is really also up there with one of the best song titles of the year. It's called Shut Up, Kiss Me.
Shut Up, Kiss Me, Angel Olsen from the album My Woman.
Oh, I mean, never a wrong sentiment, I think. That's, if it's the right, if you say it to the right person, it's, you know, it's good. But, you know, it's just be judicious
right.
when you use that.
Of course.
All right. You know, because we always bond over Wilco.
We always have.
And it is never, or at least it has yet to become inappropriate, because they put out a great, great record this year, kind of a low-key record, a lot of acoustic music on it. This song, which is just, it hits so close to home for me. Mm-hmm. It's called Normal American Kids. It's from Wilco Schmilko.
Remind myself long ago, before I could drive, before I could vote, all of the time holding a grudge, before I knew people could die just because, shot from a sling, head full of buzz, I knew what I liked was not very much, high at the time, tied to the grid, always afraid of those normal American kids. All of my spirit leaked like a cut. I knew what I needed would never be enough. I was too high to change my bid. Always afraid to be a normal American kid. Always hated normal American empty summer days. Lightning crazed and cracked like an egg. High behind the garden shed, painting myself as a normal American kid.
It's Wilco with Normal American Kids, the album they put out this year, Schmilko. I like the title.
I like the title very much. It's kind of a riff off of an old album by Harry Nilsson, which is called Nilsson Schmilsson. In fact, he even did two. He liked it so much, he did Son of Schmilsson. Both very good records, by the way. I think we're out of time.
We are.
Oh, I'm glad to get to gab about music with you. Thank you.
It is truly, truly one of my favorite things that I get to do in this job, and I appreciate so much your time. I know you're trying to write a book. So thanks for coming over.
We got to take a break. Got to take a break periodically. So happy new year, and we'll see you soon.
I think we can fit in a little more Hamilton mixtape, right? Like give the people what they want.
Yeah, exactly. How about, you know, I mean, this is from the tail end of the show. Maybe that's appropriate. It's one of my favorite rappers ever. From Chicago, Common. And this is Who Tells Your Story?
Frozen in time and can't let it go. Nat Cole, unforgettable. The pedestal I'm on, I'ma end up on a Federal Reserve note. Your money with a hip hop quote. I might change legislation with some that I wrote. For boats that we came on, to lights with our name on. Through hard times, we spark minds to keep the flame on. I write hard rhymes like I'm running out of time. Truthfully, my stopwatch is one with the divine. Centuries from now, they'll play my freestyle and say this is the brilliance of a black American child. Endowed by the streets of the shy, proud. Known to move in silence, but could be loud. The noise of big girls and boys building to destroy the perception of urban aggression. My life is up aggression, of course, for the oppressors of chorus. My story is the glory of the Lord.
Who Tells Your Story from the Hamilton Mixtape. Will Hermes is a contributing editor and senior critic at Rolling Stone and the author of Love Goes to Buildings on Fire, 5 years in New York that changed music forever. His picks for the best music of 2016 can be found online along with his conversation at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.